All right, so look, sometimes I send out an email, maybe you've had this before, I send out an email and it's like, oi, I wish I would not have sent that stupid email out. It's trying to be funny, people are just going to think it's stupid, all right? Well, today I had a different experience. I put together my first slide here and it's like, oi, this is stupid, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I'm going to go through it anyway, and if you guys could just give me a courtesy giggle here and there, that would be nice. Okay, so... Good. Go ahead and practice. Good. Thanks. All right. Tips for leadership. Here is Joshua Lessard's tips for leadership. Number one, talk really loud. Number two, exude self-confidence even when you don't know what you're talking about. Next one, when you write, put an exclamation point at the end of every sentence. Next one, sometimes use two exclamation points. All right, so there we have it. Obviously, that is not the biblical type of leadership that we are called to. I would like to talk about Israel and leadership for a minute. First of all, Israel often chose the wrong leaders. Even with Moses in charge, they often got swayed to follow some of the rebellious ones. Korach. Right, in Numbers chapter 16, or Dathan and Abiram, right? Or when the 12 spies came back from the land that Moses had set in, they wanted to follow the 10 that said, no, we can't do this, we need to go back to Egypt or something stupid like that, right? Instead of following the ones that God sets up for leadership, they get pulled away by the wrong leaders. However, in today's Torah portion, God sets up the right leader, and the people receive him with joy. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 3. Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no more go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua will go over before you as the Lord has spoken. So sometimes in the Torah, we get the message, well, it explicitly says that Moses is not going to cross the Jordan because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, right? He disobeyed the Lord, showed forth anger towards Israel, and when the Lord just wanted him to speak, and so he didn't keep the Lord as holy, the Bible says, in that scenario. However, there's a second reason, and we get a little hint of that here. The second reason he doesn't lead Israel into the land of Israel, into the land of Canaan, is because he's old, right? He's 120 years old, which is pretty old. Joshua's not a young man either. Joshua's been wandering around the desert for 40 years, and so he wasn't a baby when he came out. So he's got to be at least in his 60s, but regardless, when you compare that to 120, I guess that's pretty young. So Joshua's going to take the children of Israel into what will become the land of Israel, and he's chosen for leadership for many good reasons. First of all, he's chosen for leadership because he is courageous. He's going to go in and be brave. And we saw that when he was one of the two spies, he and Caleb came back, and they're the only two spies that says, we can do this. Yeah, there's giants. Yeah, there's walled cities. There's this, there's that. But the Lord is with us. And he and Caleb encouraged the people to go in and take the land. He's going to be that man. He's going to be the courageous one. Go ahead and go to the next slide here. And the one after that. No, I'm sorry. Go back one. Okay, I think I messed the PowerPoint up. I'll just read to you. Still kind of getting my bearings around with that PowerPoint thing again. So anyway, he's going to be an encourager for Israel to stay with the Lord. In addition to just being driven to get the job done, he's going to be the one to encourage them to stay with the Lord. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, this is after they've already been in the land. Joshua is speaking to Israel. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, so he's going to encourage Israel to stay with the Lord. In addition, so he's chosen for leadership because he's going to be bold and keep his eyes on the goal. He's going to be an encourager for Israel to stay with the Lord. And third, he is not afraid to humble himself before the Lord. That whole silly mess I started with, there are people that try to lead like that. I need to be the leader here, so I'm going to talk the loudest, right? That's not Joshua's heart. Joshua's heart is one of humility. As we read about in Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 13, when Joshua was by the Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood in front of him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He said, "No, but I have come now as commander of the Lord's army." Okay, this is not just a commander of the Lord's army, as we'll see in the text here, and as we relate it to other texts, which I don't have time to do. This is God. This is God. How do I know that? Let's read on. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. Who else receives worship but God, right? When the prophets sometimes saw visions and they were there with an angel and they fell on their face before the angel said, "Don't do that. I'm a servant like you," right? But this being receives Joshua's worship. And Joshua asked him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The prince of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy." Joshua did so. Who else makes the ground holy but God himself, right? And I recommend a book to you right now. It's called Who Ate Lunch with Abraham by Asher Intrater. And it talks about the title of the book is based on Genesis 18, where Abraham invites three angels, we think, into his home and feeds them. And then the one stays and talks with him, while the others go on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, one of them is called by the divine name of God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Nobody's called that but God. And so God reveals himself, right? And when Yeshua says, "Abraham longed to see my day and he saw it," or when Yeshua says, "Before Abraham was, I am." These are hints in Scripture that Yeshua didn't just appear to us first in Bethlehem, that he had an interaction with Israel throughout their existence. And I believe that here, that's what we're seeing here. Regardless, this is divinity. Joshua's before divinity, and he worships. He worships. He's not the leader because he talks loud. He's not the leader because he knows where to put that exclamation point. He's the leader because he's humble before the Lord, and he's going to stay faithful to the mandate that the Lord gives him. Go ahead and go a couple slides. That's actually a slide from last week's sermon. I don't know how that stayed in there. Go ahead to the next one. Yeah, that's what should have been up while I was reading. Next one. Next one. Next one. Good, a picture. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit from 1 Kings chapter 13, and you can look at the picture, okay? This is a picture. I didn't draw it. All right, 1 Kings chapter 13. "Behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the Lord's word to Bethel, and Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense." Okay, so who's Jeroboam? After Solomon was king, the kingdom of Israel split in half. Okay, most of you probably know this. And the northern kingdom is led by Jeroboam, and that's called Israel or Ephraim. And the southern kingdom is led by Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and that's called Judah. Okay? And a man from Judah came by the word of the Lord to Jeroboam in the north country, and Jeroboam had set up altars to sacrifice to false gods, to calves. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the Lord's word and said, "Altar, altar, the Lord says, behold, a son will be born to David's house, Josiah by name. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and they will burn men's bones on you. He gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar will be split apart, and the ashes that are on it will be poured out." When the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam put out his hand from the altar, saying, "Seize him." His hand which he put out against him dried up so that he could not draw it back again to himself. The altar was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the Lord's word. The king answered the man of God, "Now intercede for the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored again." The man of God interceded with the Lord and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." The man of God said to the king, "Even if you gave me half of your house, I would not go with you. Neither would I eat nor drink water in this place. Neither would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it commanded me by the Lord's word, saying, 'You shall eat no bread, drink no water, and don't return by the way that you came.'" So he went another way and didn't return by the way that he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and one of his sons came and told him all the works which the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Their father said to them, "Which way did he go?" Now his son said, "Seeing which way the man of God went, who came from Judah." He said to his son, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. He went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. He said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" He said, "I am." Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." He said, "I may not return with you, nor go in with you. I will not eat bread or drink water with you in this place, for it was said to me by the Lord's word, 'You shall eat no bread or drink water there, and don't turn again to go by the way that you came.'" He said to him, "I am also a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the Lord's word, saying, 'Bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.'" He lied to him. So he went back with him, ate bread in his house, and drank water. So they sat at the table, and the Lord's word came to the prophet who brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "The Lord says, because you have been disobedient to the Lord's mouth and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded, but came back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, 'Eat no bread and drink no water,' your body will not come to the tomb of your fathers." Go ahead and go to the next slide. After he had eaten bread and after he drank, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. When he had gone, a lion met him by the way and killed him. His body was thrown on the path, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the body. Behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the path, and the lion standing by the body, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient to the Lord's mouth. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has mauled him and slain him, according to the Lord's word, which he spoke." Okay. So he had a mandate from the Lord, and he didn't stay true to it, right? He wasn't like Joshua, who stayed true to the mandate of the Lord all the days of his life. "This is your job, Joshua. This is your calling. This is what you need to be for my people, Israel." And even at the end of his life, Joshua was saying, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." But too often, that little voice comes in and says what? Well, what did it say to Adam and Eve? It says, "Did the Lord really say?" Right? Kind of like this prophet here speaking to the man of God from Judah. "Did the Lord really say?" He didn't use those words. He said, "I'm also a prophet, and this is what the Lord told me." And he got him off of that mandate that he was destined for. He's not to partake of anything in Israel as a sign of Israel's backsliding away from the Lord. "I'm not going to eat bread in that land." Notice it says, "in that land." "I'm not going to eat bread there. I'm not going to drink water there. I'm going to go proclaim the Lord's word and get out of there." and it's going to be a sign that we cannot partake in this kind of idolatry. But he got pulled aside from his mandate, and he lost the distinction of leader because of that little voice that says, I'm also a prophet of the Lord. This is what I heard, right? And he didn't stay true to it. Okay. All right, we're down at that slide. You can go ahead and go to Luke 4, please. Starting at verse 5. Now, this is during Yeshua's temptations, right? And it starts right from verse 1 with the temptations that Satan presents before Yeshua. Yeshua's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And Satan comes and he tempts him with this, tempts him with that. Let's start here at verse 5. The devil, leading him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I want. If you therefore will worship before me, it will all be yours. Yeshua answered him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only. He led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, He will put His angels in charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest perhaps you dash your foot against a stone. Yeshua answering said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. When the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until another time. Other translations say until a more opportune time, right? He wants to get him off of his mandate. Do you really have to go through the cross? Do you really have to go through all that suffering? Now, often when we think about Yeshua and Satan coming against him while he was on the earth, we think about the crucifixion. Well, at this point, Satan's trying to do the opposite. Do you really have to go through it? Just worship me and I'll give it all to you. It's a different way, right? And he uses scripture to try to tempt him, right? It's that deceptive voice trying to get him off of his mandate. It was that deceptive voice trying to get the prophet from Judah off of his mandate. It's that deceptive voice often coming in, trying to get us off, and it's deceptive. It's not always so blatant. It's a little whisper. Did God really say? Do you really have to? Is it really worth it? God will understand. It's within His permissive will, by the way. So we've got to be careful with that because we lose the mandate. And when we lose the mandate, we are no longer the leaders. We are the followers of every wind that blows by. When you walk into a room of unbelievers, you are to be the leader. What do I mean by that? I don't mean you talk louder. I don't mean you put exclamation points after your sentences. I'm not saying be bossy. But you are the leader because you stay true. And when they put something inappropriate on the TV and they see you leaving the room, that's leadership. Right? That's leadership. When they start telling jokes, and you don't laugh at that joke, I'm sorry, that offends me, that's irreverent or whatever, or whatever the social case may call for. You are to be the leader. And we need leaders even in our groups of other believers. Sometimes we go a whole day with believers and nobody says a word about the Bible. Nobody says, you know what, let's pray. Right? And I'm not saying that there's not a time for fun and entertainment or turning on the TV or watching a clean movie, but to go a whole day with believers and no word of the Bible being spoken, we need a leader in that situation who stays true to their mandate. This is what God has called me to. I am this. I'm not stepping in and trying to be the leader, but I am humble before the Lord, receiving from the Lord. This is who I'm going to be, and I'm not going to change for you. I'm not going to change for that subtle voice that says, do we always have to bring up the Bible? Do we always have to pray? Or that subtle voice that says, it's okay. It's just a little joke. It's just a little TV show. No, you need to cut that voice out. Say, no, this is not in line with who I am in the Lord. This is not in line with who I am. Satan tries again to get Yeshua off of his mandate. Go to the Matthew 16 slide. This is the more opportune time, I see, or I think. From that time on, Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this will never be done to you." And then with words reminiscent of Luke 4, but he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Remember that from Luke 4? "Get behind me, Satan." Yeshua, I'm just trying to save your life here. You don't need to go die. "Get behind me, Satan. You are getting me off my mandate. You are taking me from what God has called me to do and to be. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Luke 9:51, "It came to pass when the days were near that he should be taken up." What does that "taken up" mean? It's probably got a double meaning there. Taken up on the cross and then taken up in glory, right? When he was to be taken up, when he knew what was going to happen, he knew the pain, the suffering that he was going to go through. He knew the sin that was going to be laid on him that he was innocent of, but he would take for us. What did he do? He intently set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is my mandate. This is me being a leader. I'm not coming in with my armies like the Romans and saying, "I'm the leader. I'm going to force you to bow down to me, force you to pay me tribute." I'm not that kind of leader. I'm the leader that has heard from the Lord, gotten that mandate. I stay true to that mandate in all situations. We have a serious problem in the body of Messiah. We have too many followers and not enough leaders. We really do. We have too many followers and not enough leaders. Now, obviously we're both, right? We always need to be both. We need to be careful who we follow, what we follow. Ultimately, we follow God, right? But there are too many of us that do not know how to take leadership in a situation. You have been given something special. You have been shown the grace of God. You have been given new life. And you walk into a room, you may be the only person in there that has that. Or you may be the only person in there that has that and the guts to follow through on that mandate. But you need to do it. You don't do it with the exclamation points. But you also don't do it with the question marks. Did God really say? Is it really so bad? Right? You get rid of the exclamation points. You get rid of the question marks. And you just be who you are called to be. Go to the Ephesians 2 slide, please. It's a favorite verse for many of us, but I'm going to carry it a verse further than people usually memorize. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works that no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them." This doesn't say a word, doesn't say the word leadership in here, does it? But you do this, you remember, like Joshua on his face, worshiping before the Lord, taking off his shoes on holy ground, humbling himself before the Lord. You humble yourself before the Lord in that grace that you receive, and then you realize that, hey, I am created for something greater. I am not of this earth anymore. I'm in the world, but I'm not going to be of the world, the scripture says, right? But God has prepared me for good works. I need to be that in every situation. I cannot be pulled aside by the whispering voice. Is it really so bad? Nobody's going to pay attention. Everyone's going to think you're the stiff in the room. Well, you might be the stiff in the room in that situation. That's okay. What you're not going to be is you're not going to be one that follows the wrong wind. And that gets blown to and fro because that's what everyone else is doing. That's what everyone's saying on the internet. I'm not going to say anything about God on Facebook. Then let's just leave God off of Facebook. We'll leave God out of this area of my life. I'm not saying go preach every time you turn around. I'm not saying don't be a well-balanced person and enjoy some entertainment and things like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a joke. But when God is totally left out of an area of your life, You're following. That's weak. You need to be strong. You remember who you are in every situation, at work, on the internet, you remember who you are. With your friends, you remember who you are. In the synagogue, you remember who you are. At all times, you stay true to that mandate. When other people see you doing it, you become a leader. Hopefully, they'll follow. Hopefully, they'll follow. I was so proud of my son several years ago. I don't know if you remember this or not. He went to a friend's house. We thought it was a safe place to go, believing family. And I guess a third friend came over and put pornography on the computer, right? And he turned away from it. And when I went to pick him up, he said, Dad, I can't go back there anymore. Right? That's being a leader, right? So that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen in all situations. We turn away from that. Now, that is not who I am. I'm going to stay true. It's just pictures. What's the problem? It's just, you're a guy, aren't you? Right? So, no. That's that deceptive voice of the enemy pulling you from your mandate and taking that big black Sharpie marker, crossing out the word leader, and puts writes in, follower of every wind that blows whichever way. You can't be that. You are called to something. You are created in Messiah Yeshua for good works. And you need to do that in all situations. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us in Yeshua's name to be the leaders in every situation that we need to be in. That we be the strong ones, not because we're strong in and of ourselves, but because we have humbled ourselves before the Lord and we've received his grace. And we say, no, I'm set apart for good works. I'm his craftsmanship. I am his man. I'm his woman. I'm his child. And I'm going to stand up and be that person in every situation so that when I'm on the college campus and everyone else is having sex and using words and language that I know isn't right, I'm going to stand for you. Lord God, may we not be obnoxious about it, but may we be firm about it. May we say, this is who I am. I can't do that. I can't say that. I need to bring God into this situation because that is just simply who I am. And Lord God, we rebuke the voice of the whispering enemy who tries to get us off of that path. And Lord God, we will listen to your voice. We glorify you. Make us leaders like Joshua, faithful, courageous, humble before the Lord. Make us leaders like Yeshua, who even though he knew that following that mandate was going to mean his own suffering and death, he set his face to Jerusalem. Nothing's going to dissuade him from that. And may we likewise stay true to our mandate. A child saved by grace, set apart for good works, and to be that in every situation. We glorify you. You are worthy of our lives, and we give them to you. We praise you in Yeshua's name, we all say. Amen. Amen.